more PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV. Again, we'd like to take time to thank our sports sponsors. Again, we started this show, I guess, when COVID first started or was really affecting our programming, and it's continuing with COVID issues. So we're going to continue this show right on. It's and you'll hear me refer to this sometimes. I'll let it slip. Just sports talk. We did that for about 10 years probably or more. And now this PCSN is kind of the same time slot. But again, we're going to, again, give you some COVID updates as we go. But again, we would like to thank our sponsors that we have. And if you hear our sponsors mentioned either during our broadcast or here on the show, please go in and tell them thank you for continuing to support Powell County Athletics here on WSKV.
Yeah, because obviously without them, this would not be possible. So let's get into some COVID numbers. I'm going to go back to last week, last Wednesday, 159 cases we had in the county. Since then, the numbers continue to come down a little bit. When we go to Monday's numbers, which would have included the weekend, there were 30 new cases. 60 were released, which was great news. That put us at 106 active cases. And then we go to yesterday, 19 new cases, 15 released, so the case count was 110 that were active. And then today, the numbers, 15 new cases, 14 cases released, making our active count 111. The total case count, since the numbers have been tracked, 2,322. Of that, recovered and or released, 2,191. And unfortunately, 20 deaths associated with this. Again, 111 active cases, down from a week ago, you know, roughly 50 numbers, a 50 count in a sense, which is good, but at the same time, still 15 new cases. You know, obviously people will continue to be released, but 15 is better than the 22 to keep us in the red. So if we can kind of keep that trend going, well, hopefully it'll be a short time and we can get out of the red.
As long as the number, total number of cases is at 111, we still have an issue here in the county.
Right.
Again, we're seeing kids continuing to get quarantined. Not sure about staff as much, but probably has been some staff quarantine as well as far as the district is concerned. But again, we still have some issues. And I'm not saying this it's coming from the schools. That's not what I'm saying. So please don't call the superintendent and Board of Education board members and tell them that Dave said no. I know there's a number of quarantines still going on every day at schools, and there are positive cases at the schools. I still don't have any information that there's a lot of links between going to school, wearing your mask, and kids becoming infected at school. I would love to get that information somehow on here. If we're having, I don't see that we're having a lot of school spread. I don't really think there's that much out there, but to protect all the kids, the quarantine process, I know it's frustrating for parents and folks, but I'm not sure there is a great way to do it. I know we've had discussions, I guess, here in the district that to go to a a test and continue
staying.
On a test, yeah. And stay kind of thing. And I do think you have to be out a couple of days, or if you show any signs or symptoms, you should stay home and then get tested before you can come back. Other school districts are doing that, and it does, I guess, limits the number of quarantines that you have at a time. But where we are now, what we went through, I think, last week, and we were just getting floored with the number of cases. And as we have been going through this for a couple of weeks, again, we were at 200 a few weeks ago. Now we're down to 111, so we've cut that in half almost. But still, if we had said 100 in some cases and we were a year ago, we would have been like going nuts in here as far as it being terrible. But we're seeing that number actually going down, and we're still over 100, and we're actually thinking this is kind of good news. Let's think back, folks. It's still high. It's still really high. It's still really dangerous out there. And you're talking about 2,100 cases. You're talking about a sixth of the population of Powell County who have had COVID. That's just my rough. If the population
right,
is 13,000 or 14,000, maybe it's a seventh, but between a sixth and a seventh of the county has had COVID, unless there are multiple cases of the same person getting it multiple times.
Right.
Which is also possible. We've seen more cases of the people who've had vaccines. But still, the number of cases that have not been vaccinated are far greater than those who have. But we are seeing some of those cases, and I don't think all of them are showing bad symptoms. And this is one thing that frustrates me, and I'll say this, and you may disagree too, but you know, I know a lot of people question like the number, the case count, and how that's done. A lot of people question the people who die from COVID. Quote, die from COVID. I'll change the way I said that. And a lot of people are just saying, okay, they had underlying conditions. It was those conditions that killed them, not the COVID. And my thing right back would be this always. If they were at the house and they were okay with their underlying conditions and got COVID, and that was what put them in the hospital, then COVID did have an impact on their death. Whether or not they had an underlying condition or not, you cannot convince me that it didn't play a part. Granted, they may have had an underlying condition that made it tougher to survive with COVID. COVID played a role. And there's a lot of folks out there that still say it didn't. And I would just, from all the information that I've heard, I can't see that being the great information that to be out there.
It would almost have to play a part.
Yes.
Because you're exactly right, just using that scenario, right? If all of a sudden, if you're at home and everything is fine, and all of a sudden you get this, and all of a sudden you're having that difficulty breathing, et cetera, all of a sudden that leads to...
Yeah. And I get people with, like, COPD, for an example. If you have COPD, you already have a difficult time breathing. If you have COPD and you get COVID, that's why you're at the high-risk group.
Correct.
You are at the high risk group prior to you getting sick. Even with the vaccine, those folks are still highly vulnerable.
Even with asthma.
Yes. I mean, any kind of breathing problem that you may have, you add COVID to the mix, you are very vulnerable to the virus, whether you are vaccinated or not. And we have seen that time and time again. Most of the deaths of those who have been vaccinated have already had the severe underlying conditions, but it was still COVID that put them over the top. That's at least my one spiel. That sometimes I have this conversation with folks and I can't even finish my sentence. So at least I have the platform here where at least I'm going to be able to finish my sentence and say it. That's the way I think. You know, I do understand a lot of folks come up to me and said, some people even test you after you've had a car wreck. They've been killed and then they put that down as a COVID number. If they're doing that, I would agree with you. That's wrong. If you had an accident and you die, and they test you for COVID and you had COVID, it wasn't necessarily COVID that killed you. And I will give you that argument. That's about the only one I'll give you, because if you got sick and you were put in a hospital because you had COVID, regardless of the underlying conditions, then COVID played a role.
Yeah, it was a contributing factor, yes. No doubt about it.
Whether it caused the death by itself or not, won't say that. I will say it was a contributing factor. It's just like anything else. You know, we always complain that there wasn't enough information on a death certificate. And now, and if there's money given because they had another COVID death, I don't know what that is. I'd like to know more if that's the case. And I get the conspiracy thought. If that's the case, then they're thinking everybody's doing it just because of money. But when you're talking about individuals and families of individuals and they lose someone, if it was a contributing factor, I'm sure they'll let you know.
Well, at that point, if you are a family member of someone in that situation, you're obviously going to think that COVID played a contributing factor.
Not all, because I have spoke to folks with family members who have died, still link it to only the other problem, not COVID at all. And I just don't get that debate, because you could have been in and out of hospital with an illness, and if you went in this time because of you had COVID also, and you die, then I'm going to say, okay, COVID played a role. Did it have to be the main role? Probably not. Like I said, if you have an underlying condition that's severe enough, tack COVID on top, or let's say this, let's tack flu on. If you get the flu, those folks are really going to suffer. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's COVID or flu or what it is. That's why we ask people to go get flu shots. It's the same kind of thing. If you're vulnerable, you need the flu shot. If you're vulnerable, get the COVID shot. That's just kind of, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, and I think on one hand, people, because this is so controversial to the extent that people feel like that the information that they're getting, check your source, obviously, because obviously on one side, you're going to get it spun this way, another side another way, and a third way. It's, you know what I'm saying? So therefore, trying to figure out what's fact and what's not fact. You and I have struggled, and we've probably, I'm not saying necessarily more knowledgeable, but yet we've talked about this on a regular basis. And you and I still, at times, it does become confusing, because just because our county is doing something, the next county's over, they're doing something completely different, and it's hard to keep up with what people are doing and not doing, because you hear so many different stories, whether it's the quarantine, whether it's the shot, the vaccine, it's all over the place.
It's frustrating, and we're all tired of COVID and the protocols. I totally get that part. We're all tired of it. That's not even where I'm going with it, but it's still out there, folks, and it is still bad. We've lost now 20 folks. It was 18 a couple of weeks ago, so we've lost more people in the last couple of weeks. That's people that we're losing in our communities. If we can't find it in us to be loving, supporting of others, to be able to at least admit that it's causing a problem, then we've got issues. And I do understand when you listen to a and sometimes I'm guilty of this too, a media source, and we rely on that source as being factual, we probably need to check another source, regardless of what you're listening to. And it just amazes me that we have the problems like that in this state still. And it gets to be so political, and I just hate that it's political, because folks are dying because of politics.
Well, what's unfortunate as well, I don't think enough people do this, and I probably do it more than most, is that if I hear something and I'm like, that's kind of interesting, I'll start researching it to figure out, okay, because I'm in inquiry, right? I want to know a little bit more to, you know, figure out what's fact and what's not fact. I think far too many times people will be tuned in to one of the networks. They're taking that in and they're not looking elsewhere to know if what they actually said was the whole truth, nothing but the truth, or they put their little spin on it or whatever else. People won't go and research it themselves. And when I'm having conversation with people, if I say something that people are like, well, I don't know about that. Well, guess what? Do what I did. Go research it yourself. I encourage people to do that all the time. Go research it yourself. Don't take my word. If you don't have to take my word. You go do it on your own and make your own informed decision about and pick any topic. It's irrelevant.
You know, I'm not a big Fox News person. I'm just because it's more of a, I don't know, I think they have their own spin that I just.
Well, they're not.
Their take.
They're not necessarily. They are news.
They're entertainment
news.
They're
more opinion based news. Therefore, you can say whatever you kind of want to in a sense.
But if you are a Fox News employee, you had to have the vaccine. Now, say what you will. Even if those guys get on the camera and say, they had to get the vaccine to work for Fox. So at least someone there thinks there's an issue. We want our people protected. You're going to take the vaccine or not work here. So even though the guys that are on there spinning it a different way, they've been vaccinated. And or they wouldn't be working there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're on good salaries, so they're not going to turn down their millions that they make a year in salary to not get the vaccine. You know, they're going to take whatever to protect that pay. And again, it's, you know, like I said, I think that needs to be happening more often. It's starting to. There's a lawsuit, I think, in New York, from an employee or employees who are in the medical field that have worked 15, 20 years in the field and now suing the state for requiring to be vaccinated or lose your job. I mean, is it going too far? I don't know. We've got our kids that go to school every day that have to have a list of vaccines on their record. If they don't have them, they can't go. We're already requiring people to have vaccines. It's not like this is the first vaccine that's ever been required. This is just an additional vaccine that people are asking you to get to protect others. And there's, I think we've had now a year's worth of research, and I don't really think there's been any significant issues that you don't see with other vaccines.
Well, what's interesting is that the United States requires more vaccines than any other nation. But we also, with that same breath, we have more incidents of ADHD, autism, the list goes on and on. I will always be convinced, I'd be hard-pressed to find somebody that would agree with me, but I will always be convinced, my son's a diabetic. He was diagnosed at 14 months. I will always be convinced that when he had his 12-month booster shots, that's what caused it, because there was nothing else changed within his life leading up to that. Now, am I right or wrong? There's no way to prove it. I believe that within myself that that happens. And we know just even reactions when you get vaccines and shots, flu shots, doesn't matter. There's always reactions that people get. And obviously it's diverse amongst people. I feel like under those circumstances, that's what happened to him. Can I prove it? Of course not. Will I find somebody to believe me? Maybe, maybe not. But
you know, if you're traveling to another country, you have to have certain vaccines to go other places.
Correct.
So there's our additional vaccines. If you want to travel, you have to have one. So this requirement of a vaccine, everybody's making a huge deal out of it. This has been happening for years. If there's things that you want to do, you got to get a vaccine. So this is not a first. I don't know really why people are up in arms like they are.
Most of it stops, though, when you're in school. At that point, unless you get a flu shot or something like that, most of those vaccines stop at that point. So therefore, I think as adults, people are saying, now, wait a minute.
Infringe on my right to choose.
Correct, yeah. Yes.
And I totally get it. And I'm not going to debate your rights to choose. That's up to you and whoever. But again, some of the viewpoints I think we're having is because of misleading information. I saw today on YouTube, we're starting now to pull misinformational videos to put on YouTube, and I think if the media starts doing some of that, that's a good thing. But the same people will look back and say, okay, now they're trying to
block the opposing view.
Yes, and right. And see, that's where people just go a little bit nuts on this, and we've heard that now for almost a year after the election. We've heard that from,
well, on one hand,
long,
though, to what extent does free speech go, right? Meaning, you and I, and we have debates all the time. We have conversations and talks, and we don't always agree or anything else, but yet we still remain friends. I respect you for your opinion. You respect mine. Whether we can agree to disagree, unfortunately,
correct,
as a society anymore, we don't do that. We're split and divided on any number of issues, and therefore it's like, why can't we just have conversations and agree to disagree? And guess what? Still like it? Let's move on.
See, I think that's
common
the way
ground.
That's the way it should be. I think sometimes it winds up into personal attacks.
Definitely.
That's when it goes too far.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like you said, we can have all kinds of these debates. When Greg was here, it was you, I, and Greg. We'd have all these debates if we're going places. And Greg's one of my oldest and dearest friends in the world, and we always have those issues. But we can always come back together because we are friends. And again, whether you like an opinion or dislike an opinion, you should be able to get past that. And some people just out there can't. And
that's
when it goes too far. When it starts being a personal attack, that's where it needs to stop. Just respect others' opinions and go right ahead as we take a break here on PCSN Live with David Kinn.
ProTec Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
We'll be right back. Community. What does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Ridgeville.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN. So we are, or at least I'm over my COVID rant for the moment here, at least this week. But we're going to switch gears over and talk a little bit about sports and what's been going on the past week. We're going to start with the sport of volleyball.
Yeah, outside of the game, what you had last week, Owsley County, and then we had them prior to that, they played Wolf County. It'd been a while since we'd even seen the girls in any kind of action. So let's go back to that Wolf County game. The Lady Pirates ended up losing 3-1 to Wolf County. That was last Monday. And the Lady Pirates at times looked really good during that match, ended up winning one of them. And then, unfortunately, things continued to go Wolf County's way.
Only really one blowout set in that match. The others were fairly competitive.
Yeah.
So, and Wolf County is one of the best teams, I think, in the region. So not a terrible showing for the Lady Pirates, go down 3-1. And they played Owsley after that, I believe.
Correct. Right? Yeah, the very next day they ended up winning 3-0. A big district match there to get the victory. Then they traveled to Knott County Central. Lady Pirates ended up losing. One of those matches was closer than the other. They lost 25-13, 25-23, and 25-11. And what's unfortunate is that the Lady Pirates, at times, they look really good and get close and lose a match like 25-23 or whatever else. And it's like then the next set, they come out a little bit more flat, it seems, and can't seem to find that groove. Now, again, we can blame it on any number of issues with any number of sports in a sense as far as lack of practices and games, and all of a sudden you're playing back-to-back nights along those lines, and it makes it very difficult. Lady Pirates traveled over to Montgomery County over the weekend to play in the Dink Scott Memorial Tournament. They played East Jessamine in the first match. They lost 25-22 and 25-19, two sets to zero, but still very competitive. Then they played George Rogers Clark, very competitive as well, 25-23 and 25-18. And then they ended up playing Boyd County, ended up losing that one 25-10 and 25-6. And then they faced off against Lincoln County. They lost 25-11 and 25-16. So early on, a little bit more competitive. As the day goes on, you kind of get a little tired and, you know, things kind of – run their course.
Losing like they did to Boyd County just shows me that Boyd County must be really good, because it's difficult to lose a volleyball match 25-6 just because other teams will make mistakes. So if you're a really good team and don't make a lot of mistakes, you can do those kinds of things. But good for the Lady Pirates. Again, three out of the four matches they played this weekend were fairly competitive, at least. So it wasn't a total loss of time. It was, you played some really good competition, saw your weaknesses, saw some things that you need to improve from, really get a good practice day. I mean, you've got a lot of reps. So, there's no excuses going forward after an event. You just can't get your heads down.
Yeah, just so you know, Boyd County, 21-1 on the season. Now, I don't know how many of those are COVID wins, but nonetheless, still, they've obviously played a lot of
pretty
matches.
Pretty stellar.
Yeah, a lot of matches. And then for the Lady Pirates, well, I just lost them here, went back a little bit too far here. After that, they ended up, after the tournament, they ended up facing off against Buckhorn. That was yesterday. They traveled to Buckhorn. They won 25-16 and 25-21 to win 2-0. The Lady Pirates' record on the season, this does include COVID cancellations, but 4-11. And then they'll face off tomorrow night as they will travel to Estill County in a key district matchup here. That will be on the
ECSN side.
Yeah, correct. The Estill County Sports Network as well as the NFHS app through Estill County. So, again, tune in for that game tomorrow night, scheduled for 6 o'clock.
And that will wrap up. What their next home match is the 5th, I believe.
Well, then they'll play Friday. They travel to Menifee County. That was actually the first match of the season where they faced off against Menifee County. So they'll travel to Menifee County on Friday night. And then they won't play again until next Tuesday. They'll play at home against Bath County.
Yeah, and we will have that game here on the Powell County Sports Network and NFHS radio, all the bells and whistles with that one.
So the Lady Pirates, again, new coach, new system, new setup and everything with what they've gone through, and obviously the COVID situation and all that. It's difficult, but nonetheless, can be competitive. They just need, as we've talked time and time again, it's irrelevant what year it is, but you have to win that first set in order to build that momentum. When they're able to win that first set, they seem to play better. When they lose that first set, they're still competitive, but can't seem to quite get over that hump to win those matches.
Yeah, in my opinion, what the girls need is a big win. And by that, I mean someone who is ranked or rated above them. They need a win over one of those teams to get a little confidence back. Again, sometimes going to play in those tournaments like the Dink Scott, you're playing really good competition, yes. I would have already penciled in probably some losses when I saw who they were going to face. That being said, if you come out of there with a positive note, okay, we played this team close, moving forward, if we can do that, then we're okay. But we still haven't beat that competitor that's rated above us to be able to really get things going. We've only beat people really who have been rated below us, and we haven't been really challenged as far as we haven't challenged ourselves in the region and district to beat that regional opponent that may get us over the hump a little bit and get a little bit more positive energy out of that for the girls going forward.
Yeah, and I think if anything, if you're down in set number one and you're able to come back and win and or even to push it to 5 sets with a really good team and come out with a win, I agree with you. I think at that point that confidence builds, and at that point from there you carry that momentum. And let's see what happens. Obviously, you travel on the road, you play against Buckhorn. They'll face off against Estill County coming up tomorrow night. It is a big game, but let's see how they come out, though, and face off against that Estill County team.
I mean, that was a huge one. Confidence-wise, district-wise, for seeding, and for all other reasons, that's just a big game going forward. It's a game I think the Lady Pirates can win, but it's also a game where Estill County's playing pretty good volleyball on the flip side of that. So I think it should be a really good contest, so our partners across the mountain will be having that for you, I believe, on the ECSN side tomorrow night. So you watch the Lady Pirates versus Estill County with the Estill County folks doing that game. But it's right here on WSKV and the NFHS if you want to watch it.
Yeah, and Estill has run into COVID cancellations as well over there. So, again, they've struggled like our team has struggled. Now it's just a matter of the Lady Pirates stepping up, realizing let's put ourselves in a great position for a district title, which is still out there and available to them because they beat Lee and Owsley. This will be the first matchup against Estill, and then they come back, I think, in a couple of weeks or another week or so when they face off against Estill again at home. Yeah. Right. That's on October it was rescheduled from 9-2, so that was actually October the 9th is when the home match will be against Estill County. So Lady Pirates, still a good handful of games, eight matches maybe still left.
It's probably 3 weeks before you start the tournament. It's going to be closer to the end of October, 1st of November, when your district tournament starts. So come out and support the Lady Pirates or follow the Lady Pirates whenever. Or if you could pick up on the NFHS app, if you have the subscription, again, it's about $10 a month or $11 a month, $69 for the year. My advice is if you want to get the extra bang for the buck, pick up the $69 when you can watch, you know, volleyball, you watch football, basketball in the winter.
Soccer.
There's a lot of events going on that you could pick up with that NFHS app, whether you're following any of those programs. So moving forward, we'll take another break and come back and talk soccer here on PCSN with Dave and Ken.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
I didn't turn Ken's mic on. Again, welcome back here to PCSN. We're going to switch gears over to soccer. We'll start with boys soccer.
Yeah, the boys are finished with the regular season at this point, and they finished 6-6. However, looks like four of those were COVID cancellations. They won a couple, lost a couple. So basically, regardless, they're still at 500 on the season. The record stands at 6-6. The 54th District Boys Soccer Tournament, 54th District. It gets a little confusing, especially when you start throwing in the soccer aspects of it, but it's the 54th District, as Powell will face off against Jackson City. The tournament will be held over in Estill County. That starts on October the 4th.
Oh, that's next week.
So Monday, yeah. Start Monday will be the boys tournament there. And again, the boys regular season, they are finished. Hopefully they're getting in some good practice here. As I'm looking back over their schedule, they ended up defeating Jackson City 3-0 back on September the 14th. But then the first match, Jackson City ended up beating Powell County 6-2.
Yeah, we had the 3-0 match.
Correct,
here.
Yes. And obviously whatever happened with them when they lost 6-2, who knows what the circumstances were, because it was at Jackson City, but they definitely responded to get that 3-0 victory. And I would assume playing Jackson City again, even though you lost 6-2, there had to have been plenty of mistakes to go around, in a sense, to lose that and to come back and win 3-0. They have to feel like, mentally anyway, we've got this, to come out and play with a little bit more intensity to put Jackson City down.
So we're just a few days away from district tournament atmosphere with soccer. And that again will start Monday at Estill County, and I'm sure that broadcast will be with the ECSN crew on Monday.
And then Estill will face off against Wolf County boys soccer match as well.
So Estill was the 1, Powell the 2, Jackson City 3, and Wolf the 4 seed, I would assume.
That's a good guess. So the Estill-Wolf game will be at 5:30. The Powell-Jackson City game will be at 8 o'clock. Again, those are Monday, October the 4th, at Estill County for boys soccer.
So I guess we need to check up with our manager to see if Estill's doing Estill's, Powell's doing Powell's, or if Estill's just covering both. We need that. We will check on that. Let you know probably maybe by Friday night. Maybe check us out on the football broadcast. So let's go to switch gears over to girls soccer.
The girls at this point are 4-8-1. Again, some canceled matches in there due to COVID for them. The Lady Pirates will play tomorrow night against Bath County. We will have that match for you. Game time at 6 o'clock. And then on Saturday, the girls are scheduled to play Paris at Paris. Shows a 10 o'clock schedule. It's actually listed twice. One of them says it's canceled.
Well, they had to cancel one because there was one incorrect on the poster.
Okay, well, there you go. So, anyway, but they're playing Paris on Saturday. And then the girls will face off against Estill County on Tuesday. So, the 54th District Girls Soccer Tournament, again, at Estill County. The girls will play on Tuesday against Estill at 6 o'clock.
So, who is the other?
So, it'll be Jackson City.
There is no other. Jack City has no girls or co-ed.
Well, that's true.
So, Wolf has no girls program. There's only the two teams, Powell and Estill, in the district then.
That's correct. I forget about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So
it doesn't really matter about City, and it's just you got to go play Estill County.
Correct.
How did they do in this regular season?
In the regular season, the Lady Pirates, as far as their schedule against Estill, I think one of theirs was a COVID cancellation, and it was back on August the 30th. And let's see, as I'm scrolling ended up playing last night. They lost 2-0, the Lady Pirates did, to Estill County. So
at least they know what they got to fix to face Estill County next week.
Yeah, and hopefully you use the Bath County game tomorrow night and the Paris game to get yourself a little bit more prepared and focused, realizing that the tournament is coming up. And obviously you'd love nothing more than to have a great showing in the tournament and be able to come away with a win.
Yeah, and again, we will check I'm assuming the ECSN folks will have that game, but we will double check and get back with you guys. And that'll be listed on the webpage here on WSKV, as Ethan always keeps that updated. So we'll make sure we get him the schedule so he will at least know they're going on. So again, next Monday and Tuesday, boys, girls, respectively, that will be the district soccer tournament at Estill County High School.
And even with the girls, you know, we've seen them a couple of times at this point, and obviously we'll have the match tomorrow night. You know, the girls have a lot of really good players, and at times look really good.
Yep.
And then other times, I can only imagine that defensively the other teams kind of step up, know who to target, if you will, to kind of shut them down, and then that limits the Lady Pirates as far as them being able to score. Because to me, their passing is really good. They do a nice job of getting up and down the field. It's just a matter of being able to take those open shots when they have them and getting it by the goalkeeper. But, you know, again, it should be very competitive.
My question, I guess, would be this. Since there's the only two teams in the district, do they both advance to regional tournament play?
Yes.
So both teams will be represented at the regional tournament. I'm sure it's going to be at Perry Central. So that will be determined. Winner or loser will get you the best draw. So if you win the district, you get a much more favorable draw than if you lose the district. So again, both teams, I guess, will be advancing. This is normal. Both teams will advance and hopefully get a good draw in the regional tournament. So but again, it'd be nice to win that district title.
It would, and at that point, as much as I hate to kind of put it on these terms, and anything is possible, I still feel like that Perry County Central has an unfair advantage on their turf. You know, when you're used to playing on artificial surface as opposed to grass, the ball zips a little bit different. It's a different feel, different footing, that kind of thing. And when you're practicing on that on a regular basis, you would have to have an advantage.
But however, there is a rule by the KHSA that it has to be on a regulation size field. And from what we understand, Perry Central is the only field in the region that has regulation size.
Correct.
Now, there are other turf fields in the region.
Right.
But there's the only one that meets the requirements of a regulation soccer field. So, I guess you got to hand it off, give your hats off to Perry Central for getting it done right the first time so they'll meet all the requirements. They've had this advantage for years. And until someone fixes one that's regulation size, they'll continue to have that advantage.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that they were able to find the money.
Coast Severance money is what got them their stuff.
Correct. And at that point, you know, that you're able to do that, but yet we don't have that same opportunity in order to upgrade the facilities, you know, in order to be a little bit more competitive in that arena.
Part of that, though, goes back to negotiations with your contractors. I know when they built East Perry Elementary, is what the building was, they tacked on. They negotiated with that company to put them in a first-class football stadium with soccer specifications and a new softball field. That was all negotiated by the Perry County Board of Education with the construction group. If you don't give us these things, we'll look other places for the contract. So they played a little hardball and got done what they needed to get done. If you've been there, this is a really nice facility. But we've got some things going on here talking about new stuff. Maybe there could be some harder-nosed negotiations to get some newer stuff for Powell County. That's just me just kind of putting it out there where it is. That's just something that, elementary school in Perry versus a possible elementary school here in Powell, you should have the same negotiation power over these companies that that they had, in my opinion.
Agreed, unless there are somehow some kind of KDE or state something that's kind of come in.
If there was, you would have think it would have affected them too.
Well, it depends on when it came in.
True.
True.
I'll give you that. I'm just kind of a little – I know other schools – Estill County, I think, has just done the same thing over there with a new vocational building. They also tacked in some upgrades to their athletic facilities. So I think it's – doable.
Right.
It's just whether or not I guess you put that as one of your top priorities.
And let them know that we want to negotiate for these things as well.
Yep.
Are you willing or able to give us this in exchange for the contract?
Just tell them Dave said that. That's just kind of the way the business goes. It's you got to kind of play hardball with these guys and say, I want this for this. If not, then we'll look somewhere else.
And people could think what they want when I mention this name or whatever else, but under his direction, this school system went further than probably anybody since I've lived here my 30 years. Jim Potts
hasn't gone anywhere since.
Well, he was that man that would negotiate mm-hmm. those types of contracts to get something back in a sense to improve it. And again, since then, it's like we've almost maintained and or even regressed to some extent. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody.
No.
I'm just pointing out the obvious that he was that man in that position that made those things happen.
Well, we started the football program under Mr. Potts with the track, and actually had a better facility with the track when it first started, first few years, because we had actually, the pole vault pits put in. That was added a few years after, I guess. But upgrades to the football facility have happened during that time period as well. And I'm not knocking any of the other superintendents.
No, any more than I.
Some of them are, I was really close to some of them personally. But again, like you said, though, proof's in the pudding. What have we done since? Not a lot of upgrades. We've got some new bleachers in the gym. That's nice. We've got some new scoreboard stuff, but we're talking about thousands of dollars. I'm talking something that would cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars. But for the benefit of our kids, we're falling further and further behind every year. Our track kids, we can't even have a competition on our track. It's not legitimate size. You can't have a soccer regional term here because it's not official size. There's a lot of things you can't do here. And I just think there's some upgrades that need to happen here in Powell County that haven't happened since, we're talking 1980s. We're not talking about in the last 20 years. We're talking 40,
early 90s. Yeah.
We're talking 30, 40 years ago when this happened. So, and again, I'm not knocking people, but if you've been involved, you kind of see I've coached a lot of these sports. So we've added some sports, and I get that. Volleyball is a new one that we've kind of added since then. Soccer's definitely new. Everything else was kind of in existence prior to. So
here's a novel idea. Let's sell the school system, sell the football complex to the city of Stanton, and let the city of Stanton, with their tourism money, upgrade the facilities, and therefore, at that point, then they could rent it out and lease it back to the school system.
Well, I'm not.
They have enough money going around.
Well, the city's doing a really good job what they have.
Yes.
However, there's not a lot of upgrades going with the baseball field, and that's a whole different story because nobody agrees on who needs to pay for what. And I'm talking about lighting, because the lighting is really bad at the baseball field. That's a whole different show for you. But again, I'm getting on my little bandbox here again. But
either that or somebody who needs to win the lottery and give it away, right?
I think if I could win that big lottery, I would definitely spend some money here to upgrade some things, because like I said, it's a, if it's about the kids, we're not really paying for what we have. We're just kind of coasting. Like, and I appreciate everything the Board of Education gives us. They give us money that we don't have to pay for buses, at least. But facilities, if you look around the region, you know, you got three or four, I think, fields in the region that are turf football, and they play soccer on those as well. And the wear and tear on this field, we're spending a lot of money. This thing's usually tore up by the end of November, and then in the spring you're going to tear it up again. And the kind of field it is, you can't tear it up in the spring and expect it to come back in the fall. That's just, when you work with Bermuda grass, it just kind of is what it is. You know, it's tough, but it's not that resilient. It's got to have some rest and some growth time. So, again, it is what it is, but I wish we could have spent a little bit more money. We'll take another break. We've got more coming here. We'll talk a little bit about golf. Tell you about what happened in the region's boys and girls, and we'll also talk football here in this last segment here on PCSN Live.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events and their academics, at home or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back here to PCS. And I'm going to calm down off the rants tonight, I promise. We're going to go to we're going to go to golf real quick here. And I can go ahead and tell you, for Powell County purposes, Darcy Lawson, eighth grader here at Powell County, has qualified for her second state tournament in as many years. And she finished fourth at the girls regional Monday. Estill County was the winner of the girls regional tournament, and Maddie Benton at Estill County finished second. A girl from, I think it's Christy from Paintsville, was the winner at her home course. But it was, I think I talked to Ricky Monday, and I think it came down the last couple of holes between the Christy girl and Maddie that decided the tournament. So I think the girl from Paintsville got an eagle on the last hole. I think Maddie maybe bogeyed the last hole. That's three shots. I think she wound up winning by, I think, six. I think Christy shot 3 under 67, and Maddie shot 3 over 73, and I think she was 3 over in the last couple of holes. So, really good performance by a couple sophomores. Estill County's team score was just far away, blew everybody away at the tournament. Again, it was played at Paintsville Country Club. Powell County, Morgan Rose Sr. finished one stroke out of qualifying for the state tournament. She was just one shot away, and I know she had a bad last couple holes, and I feel really bad for that. But this year, they at least added an alternate. But due to COVID, if one of the other players that's in the top, I think there's five kids that qualify, or maybe four that qualify on score, if one of those kids gets COVID or doesn't go, Morgan can have that opportunity as an alternate. So congratulations to Morgan her best tournament finish, but she was, I think, a couple spots from qualifying last year. So she's had a good run, Morgan has, in the last in her career of high school golf. You know, we took her 1 year to the state with us as a team. And, again, she's really done well in her 4 years. And then Darcy is just getting off to a really good start in her young career, as still in middle school, getting her second qualification. I think last year she also finished fourth last year. So the girls did well. I don't think the boys had any qualifiers. Estill County did win the boys' golf. So and Ricky Benton is the coach of both. So he'll have a good time in Bowling Green next week. I guess he'll have to stay about 6 days, because I do feel like at least Maddie will probably qualify for play for stay for the second day, and I think the boys will have a chance to qualify for day two. They've had a pretty much a stranglehold in the last few years, and especially boys golf, but have won the girls golf region now. I think it's 2 or 3 years in a row for the girls to win. Since I think we won two in a row, and since then it's been all Estill County. So congratulations to Ricky, doing a good job over there at Estill.
Well, I think on one hand it goes back to, with that being more of an individual sport, it takes a lot of time and energy to, you know, keep. Golf is probably one of the toughest sports there are, and it's basically you playing the course.
Yep.
Even though there's competitors, if you're concentrating on beating the course at that point, you should do well. But the Ryder Cup, obviously, you know, I mean, talk about a tough course, but yet the professional shots that they were taking and end up in bunkers and all over the place. I mean, it was some of the hardest shots to come out of after their tee off shots or whatever else.
Yeah.
But yet it still goes back to, they were able to overcome based on their experience of how to play a particular shot.
Yeah. And, you know, but I think at Estill County, the biggest thing for them, and this is not taken away from Ricky, is their club. The Estill County Country Club is really supportive of youth golf, and they've got a lot of memberships with the youth. They pretty much have full playing privileges anytime they want. They have full use of their practice facility, and I think it's the only driving range available in this area. That being said, that's why they're far ahead of all others. But they've always had those facilities over there, and they've always been very supportive. And they've always been competitive in golf. That's just kind of the way it has been. And again, I tip my hats to the folks at Estill County Country Club because of their membership and support of their youth golf program. And it's just, again, you see a lot of that in Estill County that you don't necessarily see here. You see a lot of these sports programs with great feeder systems and a lot of community support. And that's why they are probably ahead of us in a lot of different areas.
I think in a lot of ways, they seem to be, as a community, more invested in their high school, middle school athletics programs, more so than we are collectively.
But they're ahead of us at the elementary level. At the feet, that's where the benefit is they've got a great feeder system with all their youth programs, not just in golf and baseball. I mean, we're talking about every sport they have got a great feeder. We've got a great feeder in a couple sports. They got a great feeder in almost every sport, and that's just great community support, and you got to appreciate what it is. I mean, it is what it is, but a lot of communities, we see a lot of growth here in the county, here in Powell County, but it's more towards just a couple of sports, not all, but we would love to see it grow for all.
Well, there's not so much the continuity.
Yep.
You know, because you know as well as I do, you go back, and of course at the elementary school level, well, now it's dads that are basically trying to coach, pick your sport. You know, they may or may not know the sport, but sometimes there's not enough people to volunteer that want to do that, coach that. So therefore, because of that, and then you don't necessarily have the coaches at the high school level coming down to that level to say, this is what I really need you to kind of work on, or how I want you to develop these skill sets.
Yeah,
so there's not that trickle down effect.
But they've got some civic groups over there that kind of run their entire programs, and I think that's where it kind of gets to be really nice. And again, I'm tipping my hat off to Estill County, and I always do that, but it always kind of is a burr in my crawl too, because we don't do enough for our kids. I feel that we don't do enough here locally for our kids in all sports. Some are good. All are we're not there yet. And it's just a continuing. Just a hard work to get there.
And I think on one hand too that, and we've talked about this, you know, time and time again. In a sense, I'm not so sure that our kids have the mentality that I want to be a champion. I'm going to practice like a champion, play like a champion, and even during the off season, I'm going to continue to work on my individual skills. Therefore, collectively, we're going to win those district and regional titles. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have one kid over here, a couple of kids, but collectively as everyone, we don't necessarily have that mentality in a sense that we're going to win. I step out on the court and we're going to face off against each other, I expect to win, but I know you're expecting to beat me as well, and therefore you get that better competition as opposed to just thinking, oh, well, it's X team over here, and guess what? We got them. I'm not going to be as mentally and physically prepared because I already know we can beat them.
Well, it's been 15 or 16 years since Estill County came in the region. That's a long time. But what they were having to compete with prior to coming into the 14th, which is probably the weakest region in the state of Kentucky in almost every sport, they were having to compete with the 10th region folks. They were, if you don't do it at this level, you can't even compete. So they had to compete with those guys, and they did a decent job of competing. That didn't win a ton. I think softball was their first big thing, and then they were still competitive in golf. But everything else is kind of taken over in the 14th. Again, it's probably one of the weaker regions in the state. When you go compete statewide, you're probably one of the weaker regions everybody wants to draw. And any sport. And they've kind of dominated the 14th in a lot of sports since they came in. So I guess I should say dominated. They've been very competitive in the 14th region since they came in. They have dominated pretty much in softball. But in every sport, they're very competitive.
Yeah, and I think, again, success breeds success. Yes. If you win a set, you win a match, that goes and carries over to the next one. You win a football game, a basketball game, that carries over to the next one, and you start building that confidence.
And county pride. It gets back to a little bit of pride in yourself and your community. Yeah. So they do a lot of things right. I hate to talk good about them, but it is what it is. Football, we got football coming up Friday night. Had a big loss against Lewis County. We, again, only practiced a couple days before the Lewis County game, and Lewis County really laid it on us, and we learned later, first win in their last 24. It had been almost 3 years since Lewis County had a victory, and I'm not putting any damper on any folks, but it it is what it is. Lack of practice due to COVID. And now we're getting ready for a Fleming County team who is probably a little bit down, but are going to be a prohibitive favorite going into Friday night. But it is a game that if Powell County goes and puts their best foot forward the next couple of weeks, they've got opportunities to win.
Yeah, they definitely do. Pendleton County, winless on the season. That will be on the schedule next week on the 8th. That is a home game for the Pirates. And then they'll be at Mason County to close out the regular district season, in a sense. And then they'll be on the road on the 29th, where they will play Gallatin County.
And that's a change.
That's a change. It was originally supposed to be Owen County. But the Pirates, next 3 weeks, district games, even though they're 0-1 in district play, again, you've got three, at least got to win two of those, if not, you know,
well, you
three
may,
of
you
them.
Make it away with one. Because I still think they take, do they still take four? And the district is it two now?
I was thinking it was just two. But
so we've cut it back down to two. So if you got to have two, you got to have the next 2 weeks. You're probably not going to beat Mason. But you have to win the next two and hope Lewis County falls because they're going to have the tiebreaker over you. So, again, two wins is what's going to be needed. One just to kind of save face, if you will. Again, that could draw a three-way tie or something, and you could possibly win a coin flip. Whatever those tiebreakers are in football. But,
and hopefully the Pirates have had a good week of practice.
Yeah.
You know, at least, again, when you're on a short week, even the Prestonsburg game, short week, they lose. Lewis County, short week, you lose. You, as a coach, as players, you don't need those short weeks. You can't. It's too hard to prepare. It's too hard to get up for those games when you've not been consistent. And I hate it for Coach Mike Jones.
I do too.
And this is his second year, and all of a sudden just can't seem to catch a break. you know, well, whether it's the off season or otherwise.
Last year probably set him back 2 years.
Yeah.
Because of lack of the weight room. And this year it's just been worse than last year because of the season with the numbers of cases here in Kentucky. But it gets back to consistency. Some places now aren't even getting their kids, aren't even sending kids out. They're kind of ignoring COVID, which is, I don't think, is a safe or good thing to do. But there's some places that aren't really checking on it very much. And those places later on, it could come back and bite you. But it's so inconsistent because I think we're trying to do the right thing, at least as of now. And it's really hindered our athletics programs. You know, like a couple weeks ago when Estill County was shut down, they shut down their schools. I don't think they shut down athletics. You know, they let them maybe continue to practice or whatever, because I think there's a point to where these kids, if you don't allow them to practice some, you're putting them in danger. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, especially in football. Again, it is what it is, but, man, you hate to see a kid maybe get hurt because he's not prepared because of the practices, the acclimation to weather. You know, we're not in the hot part, so it's not that big of a deal right now, but you hate to think that could happen.
Yeah, and again, hopefully the Pirates show well. Fleming County 2-4 officially, you know, I guess in a sense as far as there's a COVID game in there.
You can if you want to.
But still, you know, the fact that they're down, the whole district actually is down in football.
Including Mason.
Correct, yes. Everybody is down, not necessarily, you know, the strong dominant teams in a sense. So anything can happen. Hopefully they go on the road, the Pirates do, come away with a nice win. It would be great. It would be a great momentum changer for them. And if anything, to kind of get this off of their back and just to be able to breathe and be like, okay, we have this. Because we've seen flashes. Well, even last week, Lewis County came down and scored. Powell County came right back and scored. Powell County got a goal line stand, stopped the touchdown in the closing minutes of the game. Ended up stopping them from about the 1 yard line from a defensive point of view. Great job to have stopped them from scoring again. You know, they've had flashes where they're moving the ball down the field, and then other times, like the passing, the routes, whatever, not making those connections, the blocking up front on the offensive line, and or the lack of tackling at times, you know, on defense. Again, it's just little things that just add up, and the next thing you know, end up with another loss, and it's like if they could just get this kind of monkey off their back a little bit, then who knows what might come ahead, you know, be bright ahead of them.
Yeah, this stays positive to stay supportive of our football program. Again, they will play Friday night. That will be on WSKB Radio and also, is it Facebook Live?
I believe Facebook Live, yes.
Yeah, I think Facebook Live this week, so you can check us out on Facebook. We'll talk, we'll mention it while you're on the air. So if we are Facebook Live, we'll probably go on the air around 7. If it's NFHS, I won't tell you what time we're going on.
Well, it's definitely not NFHS.
Okay, so we'll be definitely going on the air about 7 o'clock. So, and again, you can check out your Facebook Live for free. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just you can sit there and watch us on Facebook Live. So thanks to Ethan Moore and his staff for being able to do that production.
And our sponsors.
And our sponsors bringing you the availability of Facebook Live. So, again, we've ran over a little bit. There's also a couple things I want to talk about. So we may just take it off for a couple of minutes here. You mentioned the Ryder Cup earlier. It was a great week for the Ryder Cup for the United States, 19-9 was the final score. Just really obliterated the European team. And you're talking about, this is probably one of the better teams that the United States has had, and a lot of young guys, average age 29. That tells you where this team could go. Now, I will also say this. After the event, don't know if you watched or not, I watched the post celebration press conference. Some of these guys were already drunk during the press conference. And if I were to take a negative away from the win, it was the performance of some of these guys in the press conference. Because they were just, I mean, you could tell they were doing and saying things that are very out of character for some of them. And, I felt bad for some of them because one of them even made the statement. He didn't know there was a press conference after. Therefore, they were fairly inebriated. The guys that finished first were really pretty hammered.
Oh, yeah. They had a good hour plus of time, an hour and a half to two.
About
maybe.
An hour and a half before the press conference started, which, number one, they should have the press conference a bit sooner, but they won the Euro team. They were very classy. The European team was very classy, and they're very subdued. We'll get you in Rome in 2023. So hopefully they can recover from that. From my last image of that Ryder Cup performance is probably not as classy as you would have liked to have seen from the American, but they played.
Especially considering they don't win a lot.
Yeah, but it was a huge win. 19-9.
Oh, absolutely.
But again,
yes.
They had some of the top players in the world. I think they had about 8 of the top 10 on their team. Not always does that happen. And I tell you what, the performance was outstanding.
Entertaining to watch. That's what it's all about.
Well, the press conference was entertaining to watch. I thought it was funny, but it's also kind of embarrassing too. On the side note, but we mentioned that we want to talk about it. And in baseball, man, the American League playoffs getting tight.
Yeah, about four teams left for the wild card.
And if you're watching the National League, you only got a couple races left. But the Dodgers and Giants are tight. The Braves or Phillies are not over yet. So. Couple good series going on now. The Cardinals have clinched the playoff berth. The Brewers have clinched the playoff berth. The Dodgers, Giants have clinched. And either the Braves or the Phillies will either one of those two teams will win the East. And that's it. The other team will be eliminated. So looks like the Braves have got the upper hand right now.
Yeah.
But that could go either way. So some exciting baseball to be played out. And then Saturday, UK football versus Florida under the lights here at Kroger Field, so that'll be a fun event here in Kentucky.
Yeah, in one of the polls, Kentucky was ranked 23.
Yeah, coaches poll.
Yeah, and you know, at that point, if there is a time for UK to get over the hump against a Florida team,
ranked 11th.
Yeah, this is definitely the time to make it happen. I feel like this is one of those games that they can win, capable of winning. Even preseason, I felt like they had a good chance to get this against this team. I feel like UK can still go 10-2, 9-3.
I get a good bowl.
Try to be generous in a sense, but I feel like that they have the talent and skill set in order to make it happen. And
we'll see the next few weeks. You got Florida this week, LSU coming up in a couple weeks. But I tell you what, this is kind of like we're talking about with volleyball. Need to be somebody ranked above you. This is a time for Kentucky football. You're 4-0. You lost to you barely won over a couple teams that you probably should have blown out. But this is a game, if you can win this one, this gets you some respect in the SEC. We'll see how she plays out on Saturday. Now, that's kind of everything I wanted to get in. You got anything else?
No. Right. We're good.
we're good. We will see you, well, tomorrow night.
Yes, soccer.
Soccer, and it will be
girls soccer against
and
Bath
senior
County.
Night for the girls.
Yes.
And then on Friday, we'll have football
at Fleming County.
At Fleming County here on the Powell County Sports Network. So we'll see you next week.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Attorney Teddy Flint has represented people with injuries for many years. Teddy Flint represents people who have been injured on a contingency fee basis, which means he doesn't get paid unless he recovers damages for you. These damages may include money for pain and suffering, in addition to lost earning capacity and expenses associated with medical treatment. Teddy also takes cases involving injuries at work, including harassment and wrongful termination. If you can no longer work, Teddy Flint and his associates can help you obtain your Social Security benefits. Call Teddy Flint for a free consultation, and remember, he doesn't get paid unless you do. This is an advertisement. Court costs may be the responsibility of the client.
for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
You're listening to...